This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Oh, we want you to hear what Steph had to say today. This is a good portion of his media availability discussing his injury. Here is Steph Curry.
How are you feeling, Steph?
Feeling great. Sarcasm.
How did it happen? I mean, it looked like we just sort of looked up at one point and you were reaching for it, but was it on defense? Was it on...
That defense possession, it's hard to really predict this stuff is what I'm learning. There were no, like, warning signs or any weird feelings. I felt great the whole game up until that point. And then I made like a little pivot move on defense and felt something. Didn't think it was nothing or anything. I felt like I could just go get it released and we'd be able to come back out. But with soft tissue stuff like that, it was one of those situations I could have done more damage if I tried to go back out. So obviously a tough break, but hopefully I'll be back soon.
Do you have like a target in your mind, or how are you kind of viewing this?
This is new, and from all that I'm learning about how quickly you can get back, there has to be a healing process that is just the way the body works. You can't accelerate it more than what it's telling you. So it'll be one of those after a week, like really reevaluating every day to kind of understand when it's safe just to even think about playing, let alone like how much can you push it.
You've never had any type of hamstring issues in your life?
First one.
Steph, I mean, you're going to be clearly around the team. You're here today. Have you talked to the guys? Or do you need to talk to them? Or any kind of just like, hey, I'm here. I'm still around.
No, they talked to me. This is the great vibe in our locker room in terms of, you know, them trying to hold the fort down. We have a lot of confidence that we can, you know, still win the series, and guys step up no matter how it looks. It's obviously a situation where you want to think positively and optimistically that, you know, we can win games and buy me some time to get back and stretch, hopefully have another series after this and, you know, be able to be in a position where I can get back out there safely, where I'm not putting too much risk on, you know, the body if it's not ready. So I think they understand the task. We all are in it together, and I love the feedback I got from my guys of understanding what the challenge is.
Are you still able to get like stationary shots up or
anything? Nah, I'm a little ways away from that.
You say not too much risk, Steph. I mean, is there going to be a temptation that's like, okay, there's a chance I could re-injure, but I'm still going to play, or do you have to fight that?
There will be, eventually there'll be conversations like that. I'm not even anywhere close to that right now, so I'm not rushing it. Because like I said, there has to be a natural healing process that happens, and the body will tell you, even if you're able to do like normal basketball movements, pain-free and all that stuff. And I know how tricky hamstrings can be, where they can fool you and think that it's healed even if you don't feel anything. And so that gray area is a little will be confusing, I'm sure, but I'll do everything in my power to get back as soon as possible.
Steph, because you said that it can, the nature of this injury can kind of fool you at times, what would it take for you to feel comfortable when you finally come back? Like, what's the bar for you to have to pass?
I have no idea because I've never dealt with this before. So if it was my ankles or anything else, I'd be able to tell you pretty quickly. Like, I know by said date I'll be good. This one I have no clue, so I'm not trying to put any expectations other than I want to feel better each day as I go. Obviously working with Rick and his expertise on, again, doing everything that we can to get me back out there as soon as possible. That's the mission, and then whenever that time comes, I should have all the answers.
And then is it like 24 hours of like stem or anything like that, like treatment? Is it?
It's a lot, yeah. It's a little bit of everything.
Steph, given that you haven't had this before, have you talked to Gary or someone on the team who has? Because, I mean, obviously several, not a very uncommon injury.
I will, for sure. I haven't. I've been in my feelings a little bit.
Considering you went through this in 2016, something similar, not a hamstring, but an injury as well. Does that make it more comforting or more frustrating?
More frustrating, because when you're 27, you feel like, you know, you're obviously in your prime. Like, every opportunity I have now, you don't want it to be wasted on an injury. Like, I'm thankful it wasn't worse, and I'm very aware of and appreciative that I have even a chance to come back. There's been injuries around the league that you've seen guys don't have that option. So I'm just trying to stay in that mind frame, and hopefully things work out where I can come back and we have a chance to keep doing something special. But injuries are always hard emotionally, just because none of this is guaranteed to be back, you know, in this environment or in the playoff experience and have an opportunity like that. So when you get hurt, you know, you have to be intentional about what you focus on.
All right, there's Steph Curry today and his media availability all about the injury. You said after listening to this entire thing, it made you feel like he was going to be out even longer.
Yes, yeah. And it's just based on what he was explaining about how he doesn't know. And, you know, he mentioned it twice how, you know, he just is kind of not afraid, but he's really concerned about being able to go back out there. And I know the nature of the hamstring where it might feel okay, but it doesn't feel okay. And one foul move can, like, put you right back to where you were with the hamstring. And the fact that he said, yeah, if it was an ankle, like, I could tell you right now. Like, if he sprained his ankle in that same way and it was like, ooh, grade one ankle, he'd say 8 days, 6 days, 9 days, because he's done it so many times, he would know, but he doesn't know. And the fact that he's not even able to go out there and shoot stationary shots, not a big deal, but I think that he's being really, really cautious and conservative, as they have to be.
What I wonder, because someone asked me this today, is how does the flow of the series affect decision-making down the road? And I know already that the Warriors and Steph will never do anything irresponsible. But I'm also mindful of what he said about hamstrings, which is that sometimes you think you're ready to go and you're not. So I don't know really how you ever get to a definitive spot where you know you are. And I wonder, for example, if that game six a week from Sunday rolls around, let's say that gets here, which I think is highly likely, because I don't think the Wolves are going to win four in a row. But I also don't think the Warriors are going to win three of the next four. So I think it's very likely that game six Sunday, a week and a half from now, gets here. And what if it does? And it feels pretty good. And you're down 3-2. But you're not like 100% sure that it's okay. What do the Warriors and Steph do in that situation?
I think that they make the determination based on health and health alone. And that's the one thing that they've always done. And, you know, think about the Kevin Durant situation where he had a calf strain and he and Rick Celebrini decided that, you know, he could play. They knew the risk. And, well, the risk turned out to be everyone's worst nightmare because he tore his Achilles and that was it. The Klay Thompson one, you could never predict a torn ACL. But I think about the KD one a lot because, you know, was it a borderline call or was KD saying, nah, I'm going to play no matter what? How did that actually play out? When you have Steph Curry and you've got a hamstring, a first-time hamstring, well, he could play and he could be close to being good to go and he can go out there and he could play through it and he could help him win or help him lose and, you know, and be fine.
Yeah.
Or he can go out there and make one false step and it can get worse, and the Warriors can go out there and win the game. And well, now Steph's going to be out 2 weeks. And so, yeah, you advance, or maybe you force a game seven, but now you're going to be without Steph for 2 weeks. I just think when it comes to Steph, it's always, always, always a medical call more than it is a situational call.
No doubt, no doubt. I don't think we know this about the Warriors. They're not going to be irresponsible. You hear it from Steph right there. They're not going to be irresponsible. That would be stupid. But I do wonder, if you're facing elimination, you're facing the end of the year anyway.
Yep, yep.
Right? So it's like, what really is the risk in that situation? It's significant because even if you do have the offseason ahead, you still don't want a significant injury, number one. And number two, there's always the possibility that even an all-time great could go out there and actually perform worse than whoever his backup is. Even if the Warriors are down 3-2, they're allowed to win the next two games without him. So that whole push-pull to me, I think, is going to be really, really difficult, assuming that the Warriors get there. There's also this quote. This one kind of broke my heart a little bit. This one broke my heart a little bit. And I think this is what breaks Steph's heart. This is why he was in tears in the locker room. And I saw this from Kawakami's Twitter. The quote is, "The way we were playing and how I was playing individually that first half, I was starting to feel really, really good about where we were at. Then you kind of get gut punched." That one broke my heart a little bit because there's such an admission in there. There's Steph Curry saying that, like, look, we think we're great. We think we're this. We think we're that. Draymond at the All-Star Games, like, we're going to win a championship. Okay, but you got to get in there and do it. They win their way out of the play-in tournament. They have to do a road game seven. They do it. And then they get off to this awesome start on the road in Minnesota. And he admits that what's going through his mind is, hold the fort. Like, we're threatening to take game one on the road, which really twists the percentages in our favor that we're going to make the conference finals. And the conference finals is when you can officially start saying we're contending for a title.
Absolutely. No matter who you play.
No matter who you play. So he's sitting here on the court going, hold on a second. We got like a real shot maybe here. A real shot at that fifth ring. Then you come up lame.
Right. And it's extra frustrating when you have an injury of this nature. And I looked back at the play many times and he talked about it. He's on defense and they're playing zone. And all he does is, you know, he's shuffling and he does a hard jab step to the left to try to show defense to the baseline. And then he pushes off and he comes back and he immediately goes up and grabs right below the buttock. And it's like, oh boy. Yep. And then you see him like again and he's holding it and he's holding it. And it's like, dude, you did nothing. You did nothing. You just jabbed to the left. And then the hammy went out. Yeah.
You know that.
I've done it a couple times.
Yeah. And I've had them. I haven't had a bad one, but like, they just start barking. You're like, I didn't do anything.
Nothing.
Where'd this come from?
Oh, yeah.
And it just starts barking on you. And if it locks up, it locks up.
Well, that's what he said. He's like, I was hoping we can go back there and we can, kind of work through it. Because sometimes you get that little, the hammy, the tweak. And like, you're able to stretch and it's like, okay, can stretch it out. We're going to baby it for a little bit and then we're going to walk through it. We're going to walk it off and hopefully we'll be fine. And Steph tried to do that and clearly it was way worse than, being able to work through it because he didn't even come back to the bench at all. And the word immediately came, he's out for the rest of the game.
Straight to the locker room.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was playing great and they were playing great. And I'm sure he was starting to feel like, okay, we got through Houston. We got through the hard one. This is going to be hard, but we're starting to really hum. And the only, I guess, positive through all this is that this will give his thumb some time to heal, right?
No
one's going to be swatting his thumb for the next week.
It's only a positive if he does put a uniform on again this year.
You're right.
And he will this calendar year, but this season. I don't know if he will. I don't know if he's going to get that opportunity.
Hopefully they make it to where he gets that chance. And I was just looking at if he was to play again and sustain a complete rupture of the hamstring, now you're looking at 3 to 6 months.
Yep.
And that is a really, really hard injury, and that's a hard rehab. And so
3 to 6 months takes you potentially 2 months into the start of next year.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't want to do that.
No, and so.
And you don't want to do any of this stuff at that age. At that age, when you have a major injury, sometimes you're never the same.
Yeah, especially like you said, you know, he's 37 and he's never had this before. And so when you have a hamstring injury, you're going to get scar tissue. And if it's a grade one, you're not going to have a lot of scar tissue. But after a week or two, hopefully he's able to go through all the rehab and he'll get the best rehab known to man. And if he can play in game six, if they need him, that would be awesome.
Mm. Golly.
It's a shame.
I can't believe it.
And I just noticed that today's the anniversary of the Willis Reed game. When Willis Reed famously limped back and was able to take the floor for the Knicks in their championship year.
So you're saying that Steph will play tonight?
I don't know about tonight.
Oh, okay.
But game six could be his Willis Reed moment.
It could be, although I don't think Steph Curry is going to limp onto any basketball court. If he's still limping, he ain't playing. So I hear you.
It was a different time then.
It was a different time, and it's a different injury. Different injuries you handle different ways. Some can get worse, some can't, just pain tolerance stuff. All right, back to the phones. Bob Fitzgerald's going to join us in 10 minutes. Let's go to Kevin in Oakland. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for calling.
Hey guys. I'm feeling pretty good about tonight, feeling hopeful, as you said, but, one thing that worries me is this I realize the defense has clamped down in the playoffs, but there's been a lot of shot clock violations and then possessions where they get down to 3-4 left and they throw it out to Pods or to Draymond sometimes or Moses Moody, and they fire up these terrible shots. And I'm wondering if that worries you guys as much as it worries me, and why they seem to feel the need to kind of be stagnant like that when they, and especially after Steph went out, I noticed it more. So that worries me for tonight and going forward.
No doubt. And Kevin, here's why A is a good observation, but B doesn't worry me. I think what happens in a lot of those situations, first of all, the Warriors are going to be a little bit offensively challenged without Steph Curry. Totally get it. But when he's not out there, what I see, and it's actually sometimes even when he is out there, you have enough players on the Warriors who can put up a shot, but what clicks in the back of their mind, and I'm making this up, but this is just my observation, what clicks in the back of their mind is, I could take this three-pointer, maybe this isn't the best shot we could get because, you know, Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler are both here. So let's keep moving the ball to see if we can get one of them an open look. Well, A, we may get some more shot clock violations because Minnesota is still a good defensive team and the Warriors are going to have a harder time creating their own looks. The other side to that is, though, and this is my hope for how it gets fixed. Look, Steph Curry is gone for now. So the rest of you, shoot it.
What's your expression?
Shoot your shot. It is all you got. So Pods.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait.
Not quite yet. Okay, yeah, man. That's the best day of the week.
Got me excited.
Anyway, Pods and Moody and Kuminga if you get in there and Quentin for sure. And my goodness, Pat Spencer, Mr. Not Scared. Shoot your shot. It is all you got. And Jimmy, you heard him say it. You don't have to worry about Buddy. He'll shoot.
Right.
But Jimmy said it in the press conference after the game. I'm going to get really ticked at these guys if the open shot comes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Their way and they don't take it. They have to take an open look when it comes, because those are going to be like gold, and there's no reason to sit there and wait and hope that you can find an open one for Steph, because right now he doesn't play for the Warriors.
Yeah, he's not going to have a chance to shoot it. And I look for Draymond again to be as aggressive as he was in game one, where, you know, he took 10 threes, which is one of only four times in his career, playoff or regular season, that he shot 10 or more threes. So I look for that again, and he doesn't care if they leave him open. He's going to shoot it. And he was hot early and cold late, and that is usually the pattern for Draymond. Yeah. But I think about the one thing I'm going to be watching is how they run their offense and how different it is. I think it's going to be a lot more of ISO and out. Like, you're going to give it to Jimmy and let Jimmy try to cook whatever matchup he has. And then if they double or if it's not going his way, kick it out and see if you can then pass and try to get a three.
42 minutes for Jimmy tonight.
Feels about right.
3 minutes, a half.
And pending a blowout, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
course.
Pending it being...
No, if you're in it, you keep him on the floor for all but 3 minutes, a half, I
sure.
would bet.
Yeah, I just wonder who gets the come-up minutes. Who gets the Steph minutes? Because, you know, the easy answer is Kuminga, but Kuminga doesn't play great with Draymond and Jimmy,
and
so...
That's not replacing Steph.
I know it's not, but you're not going to play pods much more than you have, and... Moses Moody played 8 minutes. Does he play more? Probably. Gary plays a little bit more. Is it Pat Spencer who gets a real chance?
Yeah, he plays more. I think Looney does too, because you do. Listen, Steve will never say this, and I don't know this to be true, but I would think, you know, they've always had a defensive mentality. They've been a very, very good defensive team, but the importance of it now comes up even more, doesn't it? Like, I don't think the Warriors are capable of winning a game in the 120s against this
without
Steph. So, like, the importance of your defensive possessions, that's what's going to keep you in it. And Looney was so good on defense the other night. And maybe he's tailor-made for this series. I know Houston was tall, too, but they're a little bit different with how they go about it. To have Gobert and Naz Reid and Julius Randle, I think Kevon Looney is on that list as well.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.